So, but turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians, and we'll feast on what the Lord has prepared for us now in this hour here. But the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and it's been basically, to sum it up, dealing with our walk. And we've been started out in being admonished to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we've been called unto salvation. And so we've been called to a holy and righteous walk, as Jesus Christ walked. And so that's been the underlying theme of this fourth chapter, our walk. Since verse 17, walk not as the unsaved, walk not as other Gentiles walk. And after listing some things, we got down to verse 30. And maybe those things, maybe you would call vices. They could be vices. Put away lying, be angry and sin not, and to guard against that sinning in our anger is don't let the sun go down upon our wrath. Don't give place to it. Don't give place to Satan. Admonishes us against stealing and admonishes us to work with our hands so that we in turn might have to give to the poor. Admonishes us concerning corrupt communication, bad communication, bad language, we would say. And he says, after all those things, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Thank God we're sealed until the day of redemption. Thank God His Holy Spirit seals us until that day of redemption. Don't grieve Him then. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How do we do it? Well, the manner of life which was listed beforehand. If we are guilty of walking as the unsaved walk, we grieve Him. But he wasn't done saying what he wanted to say about all the ways in which we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And so there we're given the next two verses. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. These are vices. These are definitely vices that are listed here. There's six of them. What we have here is an exhortation against these vices. We could say against corrupt behavior. Whoa, preacher. That's corrupt behavior? Bitterness? Wrath? Anger? Clamor? Evil speaking? Malice? That's corrupt behavior? You see, we have a tendency to think that sins such as murder, such as fornication, such as adultery, such as sodomy, such as pedophilia, such as idolatry, such as stealing, such as drunkenness, are terrible sins. And they are. Look with me for just a minute at Matthew chapter 15. And we'll be getting to this in a few weeks as well. A couple of weeks, actually. Chapter 15. In verse 16, and Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought?" Don't you understand that? "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Those things which we do and those things which we say, they come from a corrupt heart, from an evil heart. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, such as murder, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." See, that's what those Pharisees, they said, "Jesus, how come your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat?" You know, that was a great sin in their eyes. But Jesus is showing us that which enters in the mouth, it goes into the belly and comes out into the drought, out into the waste. But that which comes forth out of the mouth, that which we do and say, comes from the heart, he said. So we tend to think that these sins are terrible sins, and they are. I mean, certainly, bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking, mouth. Well, those aren't sins, are they? Are they? Well, and if they are, they're certainly not as bad as murder, adultery, fornication. Those things, are they? Well, as we've already learned, sin is sin. And if it's a sin, it ought to be put away. Oh, seems like our verse told us to put them away. Put them off. So they must be sins. You see, these vices are traits of the old man. They're not traits of a new creature in Christ Jesus. They're traits of the old man and are to be put away. They're not to be a part of the new. You see, if we really are born again, if we're really saved, if we're really in Christ Jesus, if we're really a new creature in Christ Jesus, we ought to be endeavoring and seeking to rid ourselves of these things. That's what Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is trying to emphasize to the Ephesian church. And as he led him to record it and is preserved in his word, he's trying to encourage you and I today to put them away from us. Give no place to them. So we're, shall we say, we're to banish. That's a good word for it, isn't it? We're to banish these six vices as well. You see, we said some of them other ones through there that were listed, we may not have too much of a problem with. I don't have too much of a problem with wanting to commit murder. I don't have too much of a problem with wanting to commit adultery or fornication or anything else of that nature that's been listed. Until we got down to that corrupt language, well, boy, and then we had some thoughts concerning corrupt language that just, we've got a problem with that, don't we? Well, and we look at these six vices here in verse 31, and we got a problem with them too, don't we? So we want to take a look at them. Beginning with bitterness. Do you have any bitterness in your heart? Do you have a bitter spirit about anything? The word means like a bitter gall. We know what bitter is. Or you just put something bitter in your mouth. I got one medicine I got to take, and I try not to let it rest on my tongue long at all. I try to write down my throat, because boy, if it just sits there for a second, it's bitter. I mean, it's bitter. And you can drink a bunch of water and you can't get rid of that. It just like it has to leave on its own. Well, our spirits, our character at times can be that way, can't it? We can be bitter about this or bitter about that. It means a bitter gall. It's external wickedness. It's a bitter root. To best express it is to look at some examples of where that talks about it in the Word of God. So turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32. And sometimes I get the place, and maybe before you do, because I know where I'm going, and then I start reading it and don't give you a chance to get there. But I want you to look at these verses, and I want you to think about them as we read them. And this is, of course, Moses, and he's rehearsing their wilderness wanderings experience with the children of Israel, and particularly, you know, they've come to the point where all 20 years of age and older had passed on. The Lord's getting ready to remove Moses from the scene. Joshua's getting ready to take the leadership role. And so Moses is rehearsing these things with those that were youngsters at the time of the sin of not going into the land. And he said in verse 32, "For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah." We know that just about everybody has heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah and their sin has lived on to today. Notice what he says. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. He said, these that are disobedient and that rebel against the Lord, they're just as Sodom and Gomorrah. Their grapes are gall, and they're as bitterness. Clusters. They're clusters of grapes. Are bitter. They were bitter in the sour grape. Yeah, it's bitter, isn't it? Well, that's the way our sin and our rebellion is against the Lord. It's sinful practices. It's a sinful spirit. It's a sinful character to have a bitter spirit, to have a bitter character. And we all experience. Sometimes I say to my wife, and she never has occasion to say this to me, because I'm not ever that way. But sometimes I say, boy, you got up on the wrong side of bed. I go, that was you. Why did I say it? Because she's bitter. She's got a bitter spirit about it. Like I said, that never sold with me. And you all know that's a lie now, right? In fact, I'm probably the more, not generally, if I have my time to, I like getting up in the earlier in the morning. I have time to get my shower, do my exercise, sit down with the Lord and have my devotions and everything. And then she wakes up and comes out there, and you know, and I'm all sweet and nice by then. Yeah, forget those remarks. But you know what I'm saying. You get the idea. We've all seen people that seem to be walking around with a chip on their shoulder. We would say that there's a lot of people today that are walking around in bitterness. In our society today, there are a lot of bitter folks out there. It shows you the absence of the Lord. Absence of the Lord. The absence of the Holy Spirit. A child of God ought not be walking like that. I've told you this example before. I was working at Walmart, Brandon. Started out over there. And I started out working the unloading crew. Unloading and sent pallets to 4 and ship was 2 to 11. And that was fine. No problem there. You know. But then things were changing. They were going to change it and they were going to make the hour at 4 to 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, that wasn't going to be suitable for me on working Saturday night, 4 to 1 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then having to come home getting just a short night of sleep and then having to be ready to go Sunday morning. So I transferred then from there. There was a position that opened up in the deli, and I transferred into the deli. And, you know, and as time went on, and I got off the 2 to 11 shipment, and I was on the other shift for the deli, 2 to 11 shift for the deli, the last 2 hours of the shift was spent cleaning up and getting ready to go home. And the guidelines for that. But as I got some more daytime hours and stuff, I got more into the cooking and the cooking of orders and everything. And I'm the kind of fellow that when he's intensively work, I'm just intense and concentrated on my work and on everything. And my coworker said, God, the customer's walking up there and wanting to know what stuff's mad about today. I said, why am I mad? I'm not mad at this guy. You know, and that's what they told him. They said, well, he's not mad. He you know, he's just that kind of fellow. He's on the work that he's doing. And so he just looked at it. Well, that hit me. You know, I didn't want people walking up there thinking I was mad at the world. So I had to consciously work at putting a pleasant look on my face while I'm intently working. You know, it was hard for me to do. Maybe it's not for some of you, but it was hard for me to do, you know. Well, not to be walking around looking like we're bitter and like we're mad at the world, you see. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 8. And look with me here at verse 23. He said in verse 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." You see, bitterness, to be in the gall of bitterness, is to be bound to iniquity, to be bound to sin. You see how it ought not to be a part of us? Are we bound yet by sin? Are we bound yet by iniquity? No, we're not. Well, there ought not be any bitterness in us. Turn with me and look at what James says. James, the third chapter. In verse 14. Now this may be going to strike some of us kind of hard. In verse 14 of chapter 3 of James says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Did you catch that? Nobody here has a bit of envy in them, do they? Nobody here is ever jealous at all. What did he say that was? He said it was bitter. That's a spirit of bitterness. Envy, jealousy is a spirit of bitterness. You just think about, we're getting into it in our Sunday school lesson. What was Saul's problem with David? Had David done anything wrong? If you studied your Sunday school lessons, you know the answer to that. David hadn't done a thing. David asked John, he said, "What have I done? Have I done any ill towards your father? Towards the king?" You see, Saul had a bitter spirit of envy. He was guilty of bitter envy. He envied David. Because, first place, the Lord was not with Saul. And he could see the Lord was with David. And second place, because when they returned from battle, in the end of the 17th chapter, when they returned from battle, and David, in the 18th chapter, it goes out everywhere that Saul sends him to,
taking his men and fighting the Philistines and coming back. And the day when the wives of those fighting men came out in the streets all joyous because their husbands were returning home to them and everything, and they began to ascribe to Saul his thousands and to David his 10,000. Saul, the king! I'm the king! He didn't like that. He was jealous. He had bitter envy in his heart. Also, we see here in James chapter 3 and verse 14, there's another one that's there. That's listed as a bitterness. What is it? Strife. Those who go about causing strife. See, I said, we have a lot of bitter folk walking around our streets today. In the streets of America today. They're bitter. They're jealous. They're envious. They have strife in their heart. Strife is bitterness. It's not good. Ought not to be a part of the child of God. It is the way of the natural man. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans. Chapter 3. Let's begin reading with verse 9 of this third chapter. What then? Are we better than they? Paul asking the question here. Are we the Jews? Are we better than the Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. We're all sinners. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's in your natural state. There is no one left in their natural state that understands and seeks after God. I didn't, and you didn't, until the Lord quickened you. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. How much more emphatic can you make it that there's none that doeth good? No, not one. That excludes everybody. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Now verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That is the way of the natural man. His way is full of cursing, and his way is full of bitterness. We that are new creatures in Christ Jesus ought not to be walking in that way. And by the way, just so you know, bitterness means also extremely wicked. And you can see, as it is a part of the natural man, oh yeah, it would be extremely wicked then, wouldn't it? But how many of us from time to time
have bitterness in our hearts. He said, banish it. Put it away from you. Put it off. Now, wrath. Vice number two. Wrath. Well, as we covered somewhat, not letting the sun go down upon our wrath so that it breeds sin, we covered it a little bit. But wrath is that passion of anger, indignation. Anger forthwith boiling. Wrath expresses anger has been let go and it has come to the boiling point. It's boiling up. And wrath is quick, generally. I mean, you see some folks, and I used to be one. Praise the Lord. He's worked on me and still working on me. There used to be one quick to anger. Quick to wrath. Quick to reach that boiling point. And when that happens, you could do things that you don't want to do. You could do things that you wouldn't normally ordinarily do. So you can already begin to see how it ought not to be a part of a new creature. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Book of Luke in chapter 4. Verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, notice where they were. What was the synagogue? It was a place the Jews gathered for the reading of the law and expounding of the law. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, that is the things that Jesus had to say, they were filled with wrath. they were hot, they were angry against him. I mean, Jesus, as Jesus was, and sometimes I can see individuals not liking what's being preached and just beginning to boil. Sometimes you don't even have to read them. Sometimes you can hear because they just take their Bible and they go whack. And then you know, the storm falls. I've had that happen. Because they didn't like what was being taught. They didn't like what was being preached. They were quickly filled with anger. Wrath. Just as these in the synagogue were against Jesus. They were filled with wrath. Look with me back to the book of Acts and Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Boy, they didn't like the things that Paul and I think it was Paul and Silas, they didn't like the things that Paul was saying. Anyhow, remember Paul stood up there in Ephesus on Mars Hill? Began to preach to them. Began to preach to them. They didn't like the things that he was saying. I mean, their silversmiths could see what? They could just see their livelihood walking away from them. I mean, they made a living off of making these idols. And what Paul was preaching, boy, did people accept that? That goes our livelihood. Business will get real bad in a hurry. They were filled with wrath, right? And they were quickly filled with wrath. Boy, you people get angry quick when you go to affecting their livelihood. Sometimes rightly so. Not in the case of Paul. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. In verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. They're contentious about the truth. They're fighting against the truth. They're contentious. They don't like the truth, and they want you to believe something else. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. That's what they obey. They obey sinful practices. They do not obey the truth. You see, the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will cause you to be a different individual. Will cause you to be an individual of love and mercy and compassion. These individuals that being spoken of here in this verse were obeying wrath. They'd much rather be hotheads. We call them, boy, he's a hothead. You know, hothead don't take much to get them angry. Look at another place where it's used. In the second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and chapter 12, we have recorded for us in these words in verse 20. Chapter 12 and verse 20. For I fear, this was what the Apostle Paul feared of the Corinthians, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumult. You see, Paul said he was afraid that when he came to them, that he was going to find them like he didn't want to find them. That's full of wrath. That's one other thing. Wrath. Hotheads. I want not to be hotheads in the church. Well, I've seen my share. You wouldn't believe some of the things I've seen go on in the Lord's churches. Ought not to be, brethren. Ought not to be. Galatians. He told the Galatians what? He told the Galatians about the works of the flesh. Did he not? And he said in verse 19 of the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, he said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? The manifest. You show the works of the flesh when you do any one of these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Look at verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And it goes on to say, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. You see, these are all works of the flesh, and wrath is one of them. And I noticed that envyings was not considered. It is pure bitterness. Strife. Spirit of bitterness. But our word now is wrath. Put these things off. In our text, he said, put them away. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, in verse 8, he says, put them off. He said, but now ye also put off. Put away, put off. Same thing. Means the same thing. Put off all these. Anger, wrath, and I might as well read it, malice. Because that's one of our words. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So, we've gotten through bitterness and wrath. We've got the idea. We know what bitterness is. We know what wrath is. These are things that are to be put away. They're to be banished out of our life. They ought not to be a part of our life. So we'll close there today. We'll deal with the next four next week. Anger, clamor. Clamor, now that's one I had to give some thought to and do some digging, because, you know, we're not too familiar with clamoring. But it's a very prevalent trait. Evil speaking and malice. We'll deal with those next week. All right.